AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Hey!
Hello!
You're welcome back to...
Two girls.
And a baby with...
Jade.
Megan and...
No, Enzo. We do it too late to bring Enzo.
No, yeah, we do. And I miss Enzo. I actually haven't seen him at all this year, which is wild.
This year, yeah, that's wild.
Yeah.
I feel that was weird for us. What? We never just go straight in.
Yeah, we don't. Normally we're kind of talking. But yeah. Now we're getting straight into it. We're kind of tight for time at the moment.
Yeah.
Because we chatted for a few minutes before we started recording the pod.
But here we are.
Oh my God, I don't know why this feels really weird.
I think it's because we normally don't just press record and go hello. We just continue our chat and then it feels more
natural.
But anyway, we've loads to catch up
on. Yeah, we do. And firstly, will we get straight into our life lesson or do we... Say what we're going to talk about on the podcast.
Oh yeah, sure. We'll tell them what we'll talk about.
Okay, just because this is heavily influenced by Molly May's documentary that was released over the weekend and you may have seen it on her stories. We had a little watch party.
We had the time of our life. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
I did eat myself sick though.
Oh,
I felt severely unwell.
So did I.
Took a 10-minute break to make myself feel better and then made myself feel sick again.
These are the things you have to do when you're watching a documentary. So we're going to talk about some of our favourite documentaries.
Maybe GAA Catfish. Is that a documentary? Kind of.
Kind of. A pod doc-ish.
Yeah.
But first, our life lesson for today.
Do you want to go first? I will if you want me to.
Yeah, you go first.
Okay, so I learned my life lesson from our fellow friend, Brian Griffin.
Okay.
So I finally featured on Brian and Dine, and I was going to go into that, but I won't.
Yeah, well, we'll just explain what Brian and Dine is.
Oh, yeah. So Brian, our friend who we had on the podcast, does like food takeaway reviews, only takeaways.
Yes.
And I've been raving about this takeaway to him for months and months, and we finally went, and I have to say, I don't think he enjoyed it.
Really?
Mm.
Because he didn't eat the whole thing.
He didn't eat the whole thing, and I see he didn't give it a rating. Now, apparently he stopped doing the ratings, but...
Okay, dodgy. I haven't seen the video actually yet.
Oh, it's
But
rotten.
He always said he's not going to ever put someone up if he didn't enjoy something.
Yeah, well, you can't tell whether he's enjoying it or not, which is grand.
Okay.
Go watch the video and let us know your thoughts. But I learned my life lesson from him that day. So I don't know why we were talking about it. Basically, he was saying I wasn't having a bad day and he wasn't. But he was saying if you're having a bad day or having a bad time,
yeah,
just start looking around and naming things that you like.
Yeah.
And then suddenly it puts you in a bad mood. So I could have, I don't know.
In a good mood, you mean.
In a good mood. It takes you out of your bad mood. Yeah. So I don't know, like if you're going on a walk because you're in a bad mood, then you might be like, oh, I like how the cloud looks. I like that the sky is kind of bluer than normal. I like that I'm seeing nature. Just name things that you like and it does actually cheer you up.
Yeah, we did this over the weekend on Sunday.
Yeah.
And we did it. We were just walking around saying the things we like.
And it does. It really helps.
Yeah, because you're focusing on the good around you rather than the bad. And then you forget what you were in a bad mood or what was going on in your mind.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I know you're supposed to focus on the positive and stuff, but that's like a really easy way to do that.
Yeah, and it's focusing on simple things that you like rather than trying to over... Like, you know, when you're in a bad mood, you're in a bad mood.
Whereas, yeah.
And you're trying, if you want to try to think of real positive thoughts, that's really difficult.
Yeah, it
Whereas
is.
If you just start listing off things that you like.
That's the thing. So we were sitting in the van and he was like, I like how that willow tree reflects down on the window. And because it was like creating a cool shadow, I was like, do you want to know the story about that willow tree? Basically, the tree was planted when my sister Willow was born.
Ah.
So the willow tree grew up with Willow. But anyway, he was like, I like that story.
So, it can open a world of stories as well, yeah, if you're doing it with your friends. I like that life lesson.
Me too. It's a lovely one.
And mine this week is I'm listening to a podcast. I always listen to Mel Robbins.
Okay.
And I was listening to her this morning and it was all about a morning routine, which I'm trying to build. And it was talking about the importance of having a morning routine. And she kind of gives off five different things that should be implemented in your morning routine. Now, I'm not going to go through all five of them.
Okay.
Because I've only made it to four. I haven't finished the podcast.
Okay.
But one of them, she was saying that every morning when you get up and when you're brushing your teeth, to high five yourself in the mirror.
Okay.
There is two reasons for this. I can't remember the first reason. It's something to do with making new neural pathways in your brain, because when you do something that's unusual and like you wouldn't normally be high-fiving yourself in the mirror while you're brushing your teeth, like that's unusual.
Actually hit the mirror.
Yeah, yeah, kind of hit the mirror.
Okay.
But also, because high fives are like, you use a high five when you're like saying to someone, good job, you know, you're like, okay, we done amazing, you're high fiving them. So if you're high fiving yourself the one of the first things you do in the morning, you're already setting yourself up for a good day. 'Cause you're like, okay, yeah, go you. You're up, you're doing whatever. And like, you know, say if people are playing a match, like lads will high five each other regardless if they, you know, if they, you know, got a yellow card, they'll still might give them a high five or hug to be like, right, look, come on, we'll keep going. And like, there was even a study on NBA players, I'm going to say, done where these like scientists tracked like different NBA players and teams, and they were able to predict what team was going to win based off the high fives that they were giving to one another at the start, and the team that they predicted won because, and it brings back to the high five.
Who knew high fives were so important?
So here you go. Yeah, and go you on. Always smile when someone high fives you. It's impossible not to smile.
Okay, let's try. No, I can't already.
Simon always gives me jumping high fives. He'll always make me like jump and high five him if I'm in a bad mood.
He is a high fiver.
Yeah.
I remember when we went swimming, Reese wouldn't give him a hug and he's like, can I give you a high five instead? I think they did.
So there you go. Start high fiving yourself in the mirror in the morning.
I love
it's going to set you up for a good day.
Is that the whole, are you going to go through the other three?
Do you want me to?
Yeah, I thought you were going to.
Okay,
I
can do. So
is
the first thing is, yeah, one of them is to drink a pint of water when you wake up in the morning, because when you wake up in the morning you feel groggy and everything like that, but your brain hasn't actually doesn't fully wake up for 1 to 2 hours after you wake up. Like your full brain doesn't fully, I'm not using the correct terminology.
That's
here.
That's okay.
It doesn't wake up. So like if you were to drink a coffee first thing, you're going to want a coffee in 2 hours time anyways again.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you drink a glass of water and then wait an hour or two and then have a coffee, you might not necessarily want another coffee.
Makes sense.
Then another one was when your alarm clock goes off in the morning, you know, you're so like you could turn around and turn it off, but it's to count down from five. If you like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then just get up.
And then like you turn off your alarm and then do that?
No, you turn off your alarm. I can't remember.
Okay.
It's just, I can't remember the reason why you do that, but it's kind of like, you're counting down, and once you finish that countdown, you're up.
Okay,
it's
like that
just
one.
Just to set you up.
Because I hate people. I think you might be one because I saw it at the weekend. Alarm every 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
No.
You tried to change me.
Yeah, I think you did for a while.
I did, but what kept happening was I'd completely sleep through my alarm, or I would turn off my alarm whilst sleeping without even realising.
Okay.
So I had to start doing it again just in case I fall back asleep.
Fair.
You know.
Reese used to do it and I used to kill him.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for Enzo, he still would.
Really?
Yeah.
Simon does it where he'll set one and then he'll be like, right, that's my one to wake up to know that I've got 15 more minutes in bed. I know you shouldn't do that either, but it's nice because then you're like, okay, we have 15 more minutes of cuddles.
That's fair. I do like sometimes do 10 minutes apart, but every 5 minutes, no. I do one to wake me up and then 10 minutes rest, like to allow myself to wake up before I get out of bed.
Yeah.
And then I get out of bed. But usually I wouldn't even let the second one go off.
You'd already be up.
Mm.
Yeah, see, I need to start getting better at that. And like it's science, like some people are able to get up early in the morning and some people aren't. It's all down to your genetics as well.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't know that
there's
now.
Different factors. So like you can't beat yourself up if you struggle to get out of bed in the morning. But then the other one, I don't know all five, so I know four of them. The other one is to, and I know you do this anyways, is to make your bed.
Okay.
Because number one, if your bed's made, you're not going to get back into it in the morning. And it's the first thing you've done in the day, so you're setting yourself up to be like getting shit done, basically.
Mm-hmm. I like them, yeah.
Anyways, so that's my life lessons in a nutshell.
I
so
love
like,
them though.
Let's get down to the Molly May doc.
Okay, yeah.
We are going to share, right? So here is our thoughts before watching it.
Are Tommy and Molly going to get back together? What are you thinking?
I don't think in these first episodes, no.
No.
Maybe down the line.
I think it's going to be one of the main topics.
Oh, the breakup, yeah.
Yeah, but I do think it is her going to be thinking about getting back with Tommy.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh,
Do you not?
No.
Oh, I can see it happening.
Potentially. Okay.
But then other than that, like, I don't know what to expect.
Okay, right.
I was so wrong.
You were so... Yes.
I was so wrong.
I was kind of on the ball, but also I think it's because what you had said on the previous week of the podcast.
Yeah, now I look like a goose.
Yeah, but I don't know if I would have thought that unless you said it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. I don't know if I would have thought that they were going to get back together unless you had said it the week before. I don't think I would have had...
And here was me saying, Anna, oh, this is just a rumour. Reese told me this rumour and it's literally the whole basis of the documentary.
But
I don't know, is that a spoiler? You would have seen it by now.
Oh, sugar, yeah. If you have not watched the documentary, we are going to spoil here. So go watch it. But if you're not going to watch it, then that's fine too.
Just fast forward a bit.
But... by the end of it, my heart's breaking because she doesn't know if they're going to get back together or not.
The amount of times I've cried, I was bawling nearly the whole way through.
Oh, I cried at so many
when
different things.
When Bambi was going,
things.
Dada, dada.
Oh, that was heartbreaking. And Molly was just sitting there.
Because
and you can tell
you
she is so disheartened because, yeah, what do you do?
I don't know. I actually don't know. I would probably just cry along with her.
Yeah, I would probably too. Like, imagine your baby crying for her father and, yeah. And, like, I actually think... I don't know. You don't realise how much of a tough time she's going through. Because one of the things she was saying that everybody was saying that her breakup is a publicity stunt and this documentary and stuff. But at the start of the documentary, this is already the first heartbreaking thing. It was like Molly Mae and Tommy Fury agreed to do this documentary in the run up and the lead up to their wedding.
I know. How sad is that? I wonder why he's not doing one.
Well, I think they...
leave her too.
And I feel like Molly Mae is more of... the name that people want to hear from than Tommy Fury.
Yeah, fair.
And maybe out of the relationship breakup, he has gotten the more hate than she has. So it probably wouldn't do that well.
Yeah, very true.
Sorry, Tommy.
Yes. Yeah, well, we
but
already
look, I'm also happy that, you know, I know obviously the situation she's in with Tommy is not ideal, but at least it wasn't a breakup because of him cheating on her.
Yeah, I do think it's something that's very much fixable.
Yes.
Obviously, it's tough and I don't suffer with alcohol addiction whatsoever, but I do feel like you can get better from that and you can get back in a relationship.
Yeah, and you absolutely can, but it's just important that he goes and does the work on himself mm-hmm. and goes to, you know, therapy and all those different things that he needs to do in order to get himself back on track. I was listening to the podcast about the Kinahans.
Oh, yes.
And in that podcast, I did not even realise that the Kinahans, Daniel Kinahan set up this boxing promotions thing.
Yeah.
And it was very linked to Tyson Fury.
Yeah.
And Tyson Fury was addicted to alcohol.
Oh, I didn't know he was addicted
to
alcohol.
Yeah, so an addiction is a genetic thing.
Mm-hmm.
So he, it obviously it just kind of maybe must run in the family.
And I know they said in it that they're... that Molly was like, oh, he's dealing with a lot of external factors that are causing him to do that they didn't even know about. So there's obviously a load of shit going on in his life.
Yeah, that nobody even knows about.
But a lot of people, I don't know if a lot of people, but a few people in my family are saying that they think that the whole alcohol addiction thing is just a front, that he did cheat on her. But at least if they get back together now, she doesn't look like a dope because he cheated on her. But I don't think he cheated on her. I really don't.
I really don't either, because she said she broke up with him thinking they were going to get back together.
Mm-hmm. True.
Do you know what I mean? Maybe the cheating rumours have come out now as well. Maybe he did cheat too when he was really drunk on one of these holidays.
Nah, I just don't think he did.
See, we are so in denial just because we love Molly and Tommy.
I know, when they were playing all the Love Island clips as well.
Oh, my heart. I actually couldn't deal.
But they were very strategic and where... they obviously met in the hot tub and Molly said, do you drink? And Tommy said, no, do you? And Molly said, no. And now they're obviously broken up because of drink.
Yeah, no, they were very smart in how they put that documentary together. There's nothing I love more than a well put together documentary.
Yeah, the production was really good.
Yeah, it was on point. The clips that they brought in at the right time. Mm-hmm. I can't believe she watched back her engagement.
I know.
Well.
Why would you do that to yourself?
It's all a part of the documentary.
I just wouldn't. I wouldn't.
Oh, I just want to cry. The poor little thing.
No, I know. Bless her soul. I can't wait for the next three now, though.
Yeah.
Like,
and also, do you know what?
Do it ASAP.
Yeah, we want that out, like,
tomorrow.
Pronto. But do you know what? At least it leaves us for another sleepover night.
No, literally. Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm in for that.
I don't know if we already agreed, but I know it's happening.
Oh, it absolutely is happening. Like, we pigged out. We had so much snacks. And even Molly May talked about how much she loves snacks and food. And it was, like, our favourite part of the documentary.
I actually live to eat. So many people that are around me, like, they're all so like, oh yeah, I'll just get the salad. And I'm just like, that could never be me. If it's salad with chips, then like, yeah, I'm on board, but otherwise.
I think we love her because she's relatable, and if that's not us, I don't know what is.
Yeah, no. And what everyone and her parents and everyone kept saying in it was, she's just an ordinary girl.
She is. She's just very, I think she's more clever than she lets on.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Very strategic.
She has a very smart business head on her shoulders, and she obviously knows how to build herself, but she's very relatable and personable. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, she's not like your everyday girl considering the mansion she has.
No.
However, she's not like a nepo child. She built herself up.
And she's also not braggy.
No, she's not braggy. And like, I love that she admitted that she went on Love Island as a business
move.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, she's a smart girl.
She is a smart girl.
She's got a good head on her shoulders.
Will we continue on to other documentaries? I feel like this is a whole Molly May episode.
Yeah, no, it's not. Let's talk about the GAA catfish.
Oh, Jesus.
Before we will get into our favourite documentaries and give you some deets on those, but
GAA catfish. She needs to be locked up.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's not illegal.
I do believe the Gardaí are getting involved. And do you know what? Like, because these things, I was going to say, and I probably am going to take my word back on this, these things like catfishing and everything is so new. It's actually not that new.
No, it's probably
catfishing
not.
Catfishing has been around for quite some time.
Yeah, do you ever watch that I think it's just called Catfish on Telly. I feel like those are
on, like,
old
MTV
episodes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Catfish probably isn't new. Even if you think back, I only read a book during the summer now. Obviously, it was fiction, but it was set in like the 60s maybe.
Yeah.
And there was this ad in the newspaper about these girls looking for love, and you write them a letter. And like, this man wrote this woman who advertised herself in the newspaper a letter, and then when she went to meet him, he was so opposite to what he had said in the letter.
Way.
So like, it goes back
years,
probably longer
years
than we even realise.
But like, it's insane that after the first episodes of the Two Johnnies, their GAA Catfish podcast came out, that she has come back and struck again. Like,
I think it's just because as much as maybe people around her know who she is, the majority of the people actually don't know who she is.
Yeah.
So she's still getting away with it.
Yeah, and that is the problem.
I would name like and shame happen. Her yeah. if I was the Two
she
Johnnies.
She needs to be named and shamed and either put behind bars or like brought in to get some like mental health
checks
because...
Well, she's obviously got something.
No, there's obviously something going wrong in her head.
Why do you think the Two Johnnies aren't? Do you think they think that people will go against them if they do and call them like inhumane and cruel? But realistically, I think everyone would be like, actually, fair play.
Yeah, it's really hard to know because it's probably a fine line that they're treading on, because if they did name and shame her, the amount of death threats and stuff she can get. So it's maybe like in a way of protecting them and her. That's what they're trying to do. Obviously, people are going to find out who it is.
I do.
Do you know what I mean? I'd love for her. Do you not know?
I do, but I didn't know if I was supposed to say.
Oh, yeah. No, we know because like it's all over TikTok. It's in group chats. It's wherever. If you want to find it, if you search on TikTok, you're going to find a name and a photo. And that's that. But I think they're obviously trying to... They were just trying to tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't trying to... You know,
I don't think they expected it to get the traction it did, maybe.
No, yeah, no. Like, in the first week, it had 2 million streams, like the most recent episode.
It's just phenomenal.
It's made it, like, there's big TikTokers over in the USA, like, talking about it on their TikToks.
I wonder, was them releasing episode 3 a business move?
It so could have been. That's what I was also thinking. But I just love the Two Johnnies.
Yeah,
they're such sound fellas.
Yeah,
and I think
nice.
They were approached by the BBC. They've been approached by Netflix to make a documentary. And they said, not unless she's in it, no.
Oh, yeah, they're obviously just decent.
If this was a business move, they would have said yes to those docs.
Yeah, true.
But I just think, how did she have the time to do everything she did?
Because is she not married?
Is she?
Did they not say she was wearing a wedding ring?
I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure. Now, Yeah, no, they did.
So there's someone else involved as well, you're saying?
Well, I don't know if necessarily her husband knew what she was... I could have made up that she was married, but I know for a fact someone told me that she was married, and that I heard in episode 3 that someone went to meet who they believed, whoever they were meeting, let's just say Cora, because she's the original one, but wasn't her.
Yeah.
And she was wearing a wedding ring.
Okay.
So I assume it was Nikki.
That had the wedding ring.
That had the wedding ring on. Nikki's the real one, isn't she? Is that her actual name?
No, that's not her actual name, but that's what the two Johnnies called her for the sake of the podcast. So Nikki was her name throughout both episodes.
Nikki is the catfisher.
Yeah, Nikki is the main catfish.
I'm pretty sure she was wearing a wedding ring.
Okay.
But they thought not enough because they were obviously there to meet Nikki's friend who was actually Nikki.
So
I think she's married as well on top of all of this. So she has this whole other multiple secret lives.
So the husband must be in on it.
The husband's either in on it or she is just so good at being a catfish.
No, there's no way could she be so good at being a catfish that she could hide it from her husband as well. How many
Maybe
phones
he just thinks
she
that she's have? Always on her phone.
But like she'd need multiple phones because think about all the accounts she'd have to have set up. You need to have a phone
True,
number
she has
connected.
WhatsApps.
Yeah, and even for like dating profiles, you need to have, yeah, all the phone numbers and everything.
Maybe she just uses different emails.
No, I think this changes everything.
Okay.
I think her husband was in on it. If she has a husband.
But like, leave her.
And you know what's disgusting as well is, like, whatever about everything, like, right, the third episode took it all to a whole new level. The claims she was making about people were horrible. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's so, so, like, bad, especially then for real victims of what she was saying come out mm-hmm. of the woodworks and whatever. And then she was sharing pictures of this footballer's kids on her Instagram, her fake Instagram.
It's just so odd. I know one of the Johnnies, I don't actually know which one, they were like, if I ever have kids, I will not show them on social media.
Yeah.
It's so creepy.
It's so creepy.
Do you know what I mean? I'm actually terrified of anyone. I actually don't let people I don't know follow me on Instagram, but I'm actually terrified now that what if we have catfishes on our followers? I know there's not going to get much out of my profile anyway, but like, I don't want these creepy weirdos looking at me.
Well, look, I'm just glad that I'm not this gorgeous Aoife Kennedy photos that they were posting. So I don't think anyone's going to be using me anytime soon. They were more like, I don't know, real sexy girls. Not that we're not sexy girls, but we don't post like real sexy photos.
I know, but what if there's someone catfishing other people but like stalking us? What if they just follow us but they're not necessarily stealing our photos?
And we follow them back?
Mm.
Oh, God.
No, we probably don't.
No,
anyway.
I don't really follow anyone I don't know back.
Nah, me neither.
To be honest. But I do have a public profile.
Yeah, anyone could be doing anything.
Stop.
Sorry.
Don't be putting that in my head.
Sorry.
It's kind of like my job.
True.
My face is everywhere half the time. So we won't.
Not a face for radio.
Or podcast, seeming. I know. We should actually start YouTubing the videos.
I was thinking the same.
Oh my God. I did do that one time, didn't I?
No, we set up a YouTube account and never posted anything on it.
Yeah, we should have. Mm. Okay, we'll...
It's food for thought.
Yeah. Anyways, I could go on and on and on about the GAA catfish for hours.
Me too.
But we don't have hours.
No, we don't. We have actually less than one singular hour.
Yeah, so we need to get into...
Our
favourite documentaries.
Yeah.
Documentaries.
Documents.
And I know that we both have the... We said we'd pick three.
But we both have one in common because I can't not take it and you can't not take
no,
it. So
because,
we're doing one conjoined.
Yeah, it's genuinely my favourite documentary ever, although it makes me bawl every single time.
Yeah, it's like, phenomenal. It's so well done again.
Yeah, it's so well put together. And this is something that if you have not watched it, you just need to spare yourself some time.
It's only about, what, an hour? An hour and a half?
An hour and a half maybe or so.
It's not over 2 hours anyway, that's for sure.
How long? Okay, I don't know how long it is, okay?
We don't need to. It's regardless of if it was 4 hours, I'd tell you to watch it. It's so good.
Yeah, it is worth, 108 minutes, so it's not even...
An hour and a half.
An hour and a half, yeah. It's worth every single minute of that hour and a half. And did we say the name?
No.
Okay, The Deepest Breath is the documentary we're talking about. It's about... Deep sea diving.
A free diver, no oxygen.
Yeah, which I never even knew was a competitive thing until I watched this doc.
Yeah, no, me neither. I didn't think it would be possible.
Yeah, no, me neither. So it's about how far you can deep sea dive with zero oxygen on obviously only one breath.
Mm-hmm.
And it just follows the journey. The one of the main like people that is in this story, he's actually Irish from Cork, is he?
Did not remember that.
What?
Is he?
Yeah. His name.
Oh, I've just thought of a brand new documentary to add to my list.
What is his name?
Sorry now, I need to, what did I just think, Megan?
Stephen Keenan is his name.
What did you just say? Oh, never mind,
the
sorry.
The Irish guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Stephen Keenan is your man's name that's in it. He is, oh, he's from Dublin. I don't know why I thought he was from Cork. But yeah, I don't want to tell any details about it because I don't want to give it away what happens.
No, but basically there's a woman and she is a free diver.
Yeah.
And she's trying to set world records.
Yeah. And
of free diving.
Their paths cross and the rest is history. It's phenomenal.
It's obviously, all documentaries are true stories, aren't they?
Yeah.
I was going to say it's a true story, but obviously.
But like it has lots of real footage in it. Mm-hmm. I think that's why I loved it so much. I think all of it is like actual footage of deep sea diving and all the things as things were happening.
Oh, it would have had to, it has to be, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you know the way some documentaries are like reenactments, like murder ones and
oh,
that kind
yeah,
of
I'm not into murder docs.
Oh, I am, Butcher, you know me now.
No, I wouldn't go out to the car in the dark if I watched a murder documentary.
Really?
Yeah.
Get real paranoid. I kind of, I kind of, it comes at me in waves.
No, like I know I'm not talking about this one because I do not like it, but I watched the Jeffrey Dahmer one and if Reese was making breakfast and I heard odd noises, I'd be like, someone's getting chopped. I swear to God.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. And I, do you know what? I can actually relate to that because it does happen to me sometimes. I remember after I watched Scream, I was terrified of going out in the back garden. Like I was.
I don't do scaries.
I do love
anything.
A scary movie though.
No.
Fair enough.
I genuinely wouldn't sleep. I watched The Babadook one Halloween and I'm still afraid of it.
I've never watched The Babadook.
It's not even scary, Megan.
Oh.
It's literally not scary. They read a story and the character comes out and kills people, I think.
Okay, that kind of is scary. Did you ever watch A Quiet Place?
Nope. Yes. No. What's the one where you're not allowed...
That's not really a horror, but it's more of a thriller.
Is it the one where you're not allowed to make noise?
Yeah, what's that called?
I don't know. I always thought that's what that was.
That is that one.
I watched it.
Yeah, it is. There's one where they're blindfolded and then there's A Quiet Place.
Yeah, the blindfolded one is the one I watched.
Yeah, I was thinking because you were said the one where they can't make noise and you covered your eyes.
Did I? Yeah, probably.
Maybe not though.
No, I did.
Anyways, we're getting off our subject
but
here.
That one's phenomenal. The Deepest Breath, go for it.
And it's on Netflix, so go get it on Netflix.
Do you want to do another? I think all of mine are on Netflix.
I have one Disney one, I couldn't remember. Anyways, go on.
So the one that I just thought of there, which I wasn't planning to talk about, was Rescue from Fakari. So the volcano erupted. It's okay. Basically like, I think they go on like a mountain excursion. I don't have all the details because this just came to me now. I think they go on like a volcano tour and there's this guy, I believe he's either from Waterford or Cork, but I think he's from Waterford. Yeah. And he was just day one of his tour guide. Like he had never done it before. This was his first tour going out and the volcano erupted.
No way.
The volcano erupted while they were there and then basically it follows how some people were rescued. From the mountain. So it had been dormant for like 20 years. Like it hadn't erupted in years and years and years.
And then that happened.
So they do tours. And then on this guy's first day.
Giving a tour. Oh my God.
So good though.
That sounds phenomenal.
Yeah, it was really good.
I may give it
Bless
a watch.
Him, he's actually a hero. He did save people.
Well, that, can you imagine how many people would have been out on the tour?
Loads, because he's not the only tour guide that was going out. Like there was multiple different tours and tour guides. So some of them were further up. He was kind of literally just after arriving.
Okay, thank God.
And then it erupted. So there was people like,
oh my God,
very up there.
I think that would make me never want to like go on a tour of a volcano. I actually have been up one when I was in Italy before, but.
Deadly. Mount Etna. Is that in Italy?
I could have been. I don't know. I can't remember.
Could sound like a
goose now. It was NYTY. I actually kind of forgot that happened in my life. Do you know what I mean? You know, when you just unlocked a memory.
Well, you're welcome.
I was having actually a tough time trying to think of documentaries that I'd watch because I've been listening to a podcast, but I did come to three and I loved the one we watched, 14 Peaks.
Oh, yes. It's that was so
on Netflix.
Good.
So it's 14 Peaks, Nothing is Impossible. And it follows a Nepalese?
Yeah.
Mountaineer, Nirmal Purja and his team as they attempt to climb all 14,000 peaks with a record time of under 7 months.
It's not just mental.
Yeah.
If you think about it, like how long does it take to climb Mount Everest?
Yeah.
A good few weeks.
A good few weeks, like. Mm-hmm. And like he did that really the most difficult one that like most people die on, K2.
Yeah, and Mount Everest isn't, it is the tallest in the world, but it's not the most difficult one to climb in the world.
I think K2 is the most difficult. Yeah, and like the most people that go up there don't survive.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I loved that.
That one was really good. I feel like I was very on edge for the whole thing.
Oh, we were, because at the start when the documentary was like, it was getting into the documentary, I was like, Jade, Jesus Christ, I don't know how he's doing this. Like, I feel really panicky, like watching him. And like for ages, we were going on as if the two of us
were about to climb the mountain.
Yeah, so it was really hard for us to settle in. Don't know why I got us in that frame of mind. I was like, I don't know.
Are they okay?
Are they okay? Like, because like they did have the support of oxygen and stuff, but I was just like, how will they do this?
Will I reveal a small spoiler?
Yeah, I do.
They find so many bodies and I think they save two people, don't they?
Yeah, they definitely do.
They definitely find two bodies and try, like, give them their oxygen, which is obviously very limited.
Yeah, very, very limited.
And try get them back down the mountain. Because obviously, as you said, people die on it, but they found two people that were very on the verge of death and I believe saved them.
Yeah.
It's not really a spoiler. It's a very minor part of the whole thing, but it's interesting. Will I do another one of mine?
Yeah, do, because I just realised mine are all like about mountains. Go on.
Oh, that's okay. A little adventurer.
Yeah.
But another one that I watched is Three Identical Strangers. Did you watch it?
I watched it with you.
No, you didn't.
I definitely did.
Oh, I watched it and then I probably rewatched it with you.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, it's phenomenal. So basically there are these triplets and they are either put into an orphanage or an adoption home. I don't know which. I don't know if the parents are alive. I can't remember. But they are put into an adoption home and they are all split up into different families.
Yeah.
And then two of the three triplets end up at college together. And they're like, wait a second. Like, I think someone said to them, are you Jimmy? And he's like, no, I'm Eddie. And then they're like, no, you're Jimmy. And then he finds out he has a twin.
Yeah.
And then they later find out that they're actually triplets and they all have a great little life together, blah, 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 and they're friends. But then as they grow up, there's actually a dirty little secret going on with the adoption home. And do I reveal? I don't know. Are we telling them all the details?
No, I just can't remember. So I'm looking at you so confused right now. No, don't tell them the details. What if they want to watch it?
Well, I don't...
Tell us the dirty little secret. Just do
it. The triplets were separated as part of a science experiment.
Oh, yes.
To see if how they were raised. To see, what is it? What
to
is
see
it? Nature over nurture.
Together, yeah.
It's nature over nurture. So to see if your nature affects how you are as a human or if how you're nurtured affects as you are as a human. Because obviously these are triplets. They're all the exact same nature.
Yeah.
But then they were nurtured in three different homes. So the science experiment was basically to see
which
it is.
And it's mad, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really, that's really so sad though.
Yeah.
It's really, really phenomenal, but really, really sad as well.
Yeah, it is heartbreaking. I remember being devastated at the end of that. But
it's
definitely
really good.
Watch it, yeah.
Such
really
a good watch.
Enjoyed that.
I'd nearly watch it again. I love a documentary. Yeah, like I'd rather watch a documentary now than
a movie.
I'm not a movie person.
I am a little bit, but the more I've grown, the more docs I watch.
Fair, yeah. I'm a cinema person, but not a movie at home person.
Okay, I get you.
Yeah, anyway.
Okay, my last one then is a Disney Plus documentary. Mm-hmm. It's called Finding Michael.
Oh, we watched this together.
Yeah, we've... what have we not watched together now with this?
My last one we haven't watched together, but all of them.
Mine is... Oh, sorry.
Yours is.
Finding Michael is basically follows Spencer Matthews, Vogue Williams' husband, as they go on an adventure up Mount Everest to try locate his brother Michael. So his brother Michael was 21 and went obviously up Mount Everest and never returned, and nobody ever heard or seen from him since. So he obviously got lost up the mountain. I won't tell you what happens and whether they find Michael or not.
It's a lovely one.
Yeah, it is a really nice one.
I know.
Emotional
I watched
again.
It with you.
Yeah.
How long had it been between Michael going up the mountain and Spencer going looking for him?
Oh, probably like 20 years.
Okay.
Let me Google. How long was Michael up the mountain? How long was Michael? They didn't expect to find him like alive.
Okay, I was going to say. No, I don't know if that ruins it though. Obviously he's not alive.
Like, they just wanted to locate his body. So his brother went up in 1999 and was seen 3 hours later. Michael disappeared.
Fair.
Sorry,
okay.
I won't
so
get into this.
No, we won't give too much away, but obviously he's dead. Yeah. I just wanted
so
to.
So 23
know.
Years later, they went on the search for his body. Oh, okay. For actually an alive. Not,
I was thinking when you were saying, I was like, surely they know he's not alive and well. But
no, they just wanted to locate his body.
Yeah, no, I just forgot that part of it. But that's completely yeah, fair. Yeah. You'd want to say goodbye.
Yeah,
properly.
And just to have that closure as well. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's a good one though. I really enjoyed that one as well. I feel like we watched all of these out in my passage east home.
And we probably did.
Which is so sad, but such a great time.
Jade, I only picked. Like, I didn't pick a third one, though.
I only picked two, but because I threw in my little impromptu
okay,
one.
Sorry, I forgot that it was impromptu. Go on, your last
one. So my last one I only watched, like, last week because I tried to have a movie night, movie day with Enzo and he fell asleep. So I was like, right, I'm not watching the fucking Secret Life of Pets. So I turned on a documentary and it was called Icarus.
Oh, you were telling me about
it. Oh, this. So good.
Well, you just told me the name. You never got into it.
Did I not? I'll no. get into it. So basically, there is laws and rules around taking drugs that will boost your performance if you're like a professional athlete, obviously, and it's called yeah. doping. And then there is the World Anti-Doping Association or agency, not sure, but it's WADA anyway. And then this documentary follows the one in Russia, kind of. So basically there's a filmmaker called Brian Fogel and he hears about doping and how a lot of Russian athletes had allegedly like been taking these drugs during the Olympics that was in Russia. I can't remember what year it was, but got away with it. So he was like, right.
Okay, because it's under the Russian, yeah.
So he was like, I'm going to try. So he had done this like 7-day cycle thing in France and he was going to do it then the next year after taking the drugs for like, I think it's only testosterone, which is still illegal, but I don't know if it's necessarily a drug. We'll just call it.
It will
a drug.
Be considered, I'd say, doping in terms of when it comes to athletics.
Yeah. No, it is, but I don't know if drug is the right term, but I'm going to go with drug for the minute.
Yeah, well, I suppose anything medical is a drug.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, he's like, I'm going to take this and see if my performance like increases and stuff. So he gets in touch with the head of the Russian, it's RUADA, so it's yeah. the Russian anti-doping, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, he helps him take the drugs. And then it's basically about, I can't remember the guy's name, but he's the head of the anti-doping, but he is the one who helped all the athletes to get away with it. So he was giving them the drugs, bringing in the tests, making the tests appear clean, and then saying, no, all these athletes are drug-free. And I think the year that the Olympics was in Russia, they won, like the Russian athletes won like everything because they were all on drugs.
Isn't that mad? Like, it's always the people in power. They have so much control and can like,
he was
twist
the one
things.
Supposed to be making sure that no one was on drugs while he was giving them the drugs and then making them appear clean
just so the Russian athletes would come out on top.
Yeah, but it was phenomenal because it's that's like the basis of the story.
Yeah,
but basically in the documentary, your man who is the head of it, his name is Grigory, but I'm not even going to try pronounce his second name. He is being followed, like Putin's in it. He's like a whistleblower for Putin.
What?
Yeah. Well, like clips of Putin and they talk about Putin. And then basically Grigory's friend is also a whistleblower. He dies out of nowhere. So he believes Putin got him killed.
Okay.
And then Grigory is like afraid for his life because he's revealing all of this. He put out an article in the New York Times and he's like, yeah, I did this. All the Russian athletes were on drugs, blah, blah. So like he's like very much on the verge of being arrested throughout
the
documentary.
Which is wild. Why isn't he not arrested?
Well, he was on the run with Brian.
Okay.
While trying to give Brian the drugs.
But making a documentary, that's just all it's, absolutely crazy.
My mind was blown. It was so good.
I may add that's being added to my
I don't know if that made any sense, but I feel
no, it definitely did.
It was really good. Thoroughly enjoyed.
Without giving away what happens in the end.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways, we're at the end of the pod.
We may do a podcast documentary. No,
a podcast
recommendations
where we go more into depth because, Jesus Christ, I have so many.
Yeah, I don't know if I do, but I probably do.
Maybe next week.
Yeah, okay.
Next week we'll do some podcast story recommendations or even like kind of give the gist of one really good podcast that we both listened to.
Yes, The Witness.
Oh, yes. I may
phenomenal.
Listen to it again.
Okay, yeah. I only listened to it recently.
Oh, I listened to it a good few years ago now, kind of when it came out.
Fair, okay.
But anyways, how's Enzo?
Yeah, he's good. He's getting better from a sickness. No, I actually wrote down Enzo updates because there were so many things. He learned how to wave last week. And Megan, it's the cutest thing. You would die if he waved at you. What's so sweet is he's obsessed with switches. So he loves like trying to turn on and off the lights and stuff. He's not able, but if you do it for him, he loves it. And he does be waving at everything he likes. So he loves the tumble dryer. So he starts waving at the tumble dryer. He's waving at the switches. He's just,
no, that breaks my heart.
No, it's so cute.
And is he crawling?
No, he won't crawl. I don't think he's going to crawl. He shuffles around on his belly like.
Okay, he's belly shuffling. So he's getting there.
Not bum shuffling, belly shuffling.
He's getting close.
He's trying to clap. And today he kind of clapped. I missed it. He was in the bath and Reese was bathing
him.
He's
getting there.
Yeah, he's flying it now, to be fair to him. Bless
Big
his soul.
Big and hardy little man.
And he communicates, like, he know, he lets you know what he wants. So if he wants to go to the switch, he'll, like, lean his head towards the switch and be like, and reach. So
he's a smart little boy.
He's very clever. Lots to update this week. But yeah, bless him. He's flying it, waving, trying to clap.
I can't wait chatting. To see him. It's been so long.
It has, bless him. I'll get you, I'll send you a photo of him.
Yeah, too. Maybe some videos too.
Yeah. Right. I'll be in bed when I'm home, but.
That is us for this week.
Thank you so much for listening.
And if you enjoyed, don't forget to
rate us
Wherever you listen to your podcasts. And of course, we will be back next week with another episode.
Yeah, on podcasts.
Yes.
Thank you. Podcasts.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Sorry.
Like, we just agreed.
I was like, what do you mean? Okay. Thanks. Love you. Bye. Bye.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.